Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday, September the 10th, 2026, 16 minutes past the hour. Hope everybody is having a great day out there today. It is the day of the Marion Popcorn Festival Parade and the kickoff of the Marion Popcorn Festival. The big three-day celebration here in Marion, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that so many people enjoy and so many people have enjoyed for so many years. And again, we want to send our best wishes to Norma Castanian, who is the Grand Marshal of this year's parade, a great lady who gave a lot of years to the Marion Popcorn Festival, dating back to the original, I believe, in 1981. How about that? And Norma will be the Grand Marshal of the Popcorn Parade tonight. I believe it's the 44th Popcorn Parade. You have to do that with all events that took place during the pandemic now. So it's one less than the actual years since 1981. So not 45 years, is that right? Would be 45, I think so. So 44 popcorn festivals, and tonight Norma Castanian will be the Grand Marshal. So I think a lot of people are all happy for her and happy for that. And it was a great article in the Marion Star on Monday recounting the first popcorn festival and popcorn festivals over the years and Norma's involvement in those. And boy, it does take a lot of people to put on an event like that. And Marion should be very grateful to those people. We hope it's not going to rain tonight. You know, anytime you have an outdoor event, you got to watch out for rain, but particularly this year, because we have had so much rain in August and now into September that it's hard to get away from it. A thin veil of mist has followed us around the last couple months. And a very mild weather, temperature-wise, mild temperature weather summer that we have had as we head into autumn coming up on September the 21st, just 11 days from now. It all goes by very, very fast, doesn't it? It just keeps on going. Okay. Well, we're talking a lot about the city council meeting on Monday night, as we tend to do. Interesting times is what I would say in regard to a lot of this. I think people have very strong opinions on a lot of this stuff, and certainly nothing wrong with that. I think that that shows passion. Oh, and we had the call in hour number one in which I was told that I'm in a little bit of a pie contest with Jason Schauber, former city councilman. We both have a mutual, we have a mutual friend who makes the best pies there are. Now, he likes the peanut butter pie. I like the lemon pie. And apparently, Jason is getting more pies than I am. Apparently, recently got a peanut butter pie, and I did not get a lemon pie. But I think the reason for this is really positioning, because Jason lives in that neighborhood, and I don't live in that neighborhood, so I don't see that person on a regular basis. So I really think that's what's going on here. That's why Jason gets those peanut butter pies more than I get the lemon pies. Now, I can't say that for sure, but that's what I'm going to stick to at this particular point, is that it's all about where you live. I mean, Jason lives in the neighborhood, so that's why he gets the peanut butter pies more than I get the lemon pies. But hopefully, I will get a lemon pie very, very soon. That's what I'm hoping for. That's my wish on this Marion Popcorn Festival parade day. That and that rain does not happen tonight for the Popcorn Festival parade. Now, as many of you know, we've been talking a lot this week about what happened on Sunday at the Canfield Fair. Democratic candidate for governor, Dr. Amy Acton, was allegedly came close to being assaulted at the Canfield Fair by 38-year-old Patrick Havas. This incident occurred at around 2:45 p.m. in Mahoning County. And joining us today is somebody who was at that event, and he currently is running for the seat in Ohio House District 59. A pleasure to welcome to these telephones and this show, Wayne Penny. Wayne, how you doing?
I'm good. Good morning.
Good morning.
Pleasure to be here.
Good to have you with us. Wayne, let's just start broad. What happened? You were there on Sunday at 2:45 at the fair.
I was there along with myself and candidate for the 58th seat, former senator, former Congressman John Bocheri was there also, who was just a, first of all, I'm Wayne Penny Jr. I'm a U.S. Army veteran and a candidate for the Ohio Representative seat, District 59. At the Canfield Fair, where the incident involving Dr. Amy Acton occurred, you know, I didn't hear about this secondhand or see it later on social media. I witnessed this firsthand. I spotted the individual, watched what was happening unfold, and immediately responded when people were knocked to the ground. I assisted at the scene alongside others, while Dr. Acton also stopped to help those who've been hurt.
We're kind of going in and out here. Can you try calling back real quick? For some reason, the connection's not very good.
Sure.
Thank you. Yeah, we had a little bit of a bad connection there with Wayne. We're talking with Wayne Penny, Ohio House District 59 candidate. We want to make sure we hear what he has to say this morning, because he was there firsthand, and I think that is very important. So hopefully we'll be joined again momentarily by Wayne Penny Jr., candidate for the House District seat Ohio House seat in District 59, and we'll get a better feeling on what happened on Sunday afternoon. Okay, Wayne, go ahead.
Can you hear me? We good now?
Yeah, a little better now. Yeah, speak up a little more if you could, but yeah, it's better.
Okay. Yeah. As Dr. Acton was coming up the aisleway, you know, everything was nice day, nothing was going on. Dr. Acton made her way in, shook everybody's hand, took pictures that she always does, you know, said make sure everybody's day is okay, asked if we need anything, approached myself, took pictures with myself, asked me how the race was going. I thought it was going great. And, you know, we'll be by her side when she makes governor. We'll take those three House seats. She needs six, so we'll take those three in our area. She walks in the tent, talking to everybody, you know, starts addressing the crowd. And I noticed a gentleman, I noticed a few gentlemen walking past. You know, there's hecklers everywhere you go, especially when you're doing a good job. A few hecklers walking past, stood at the tent, made some comments. They kept going. Some more hecklers came by, made some comments. They kept going also. Then two more gentlemen approached. One gentleman was with his wife. It looked like he had something to do with it, but, you know, we didn't really know. But he kept things going, almost like he was directing traffic. So I told a security guard, hey, you know, something over there is going on. Maybe you might want to pay attention over there. As a military man, you know, situational awareness is always first thing to me. It's always action versus reaction. So I informed them, you know, what was going on. The one said, okay, you know, let it go. Then more problems started erupting. Everything got a little louder. People over there got a little more aggressive. I told the security again, personal security again, hey, you might want to go over there and do something. There's a gentleman over there with another gentleman that looks like they're causing trouble. There's a disturbance. Can you guys go do something? So one of the security guards went over and addressed a couple gentlemen. Meanwhile, out of nowhere, the gentleman, Mr. Havis, who was wearing all black while it was 93 degrees outside, all a black hat, black zip-up track jacket, black shorts, bull rushed through the crowd to try to do her doctor acting while screaming her name and what I heard were vulgarities. So I said beside Dr. Atkins, stepped in front of her. Meanwhile, this gentleman knocked people over. There's one gentleman in particular with Parkinson's disease that fell, hit his head, him and his wife, who required an ambulance and EMT. Mr. Havis forced his way through trying to do Dr. Atkins harm. You know, it's 94 degrees outside. You have all black on. You weren't there to have cookies and milk with her, especially while you were here carrying two handguns and a knife with a taser that looked like brass knuckles. So, you know, it was disturbing. Like
you
I said, as an Army veteran, paying attention to my surroundings is second nature to me. So I know the details before, during, and immediately after the incident, which may have been relevant to people understanding what happened.
Yeah. Now, Wayne, I have a few questions here. Now, did you say that Mr. Havas was saying vulgarities?
As far as, yes. Before that, so I don't know if everything, the video caught everything, but before that, there was a lot of things going on before he bull rushed the crowd. There was a lot of vulgarities and people at the tent. That's why I directed her security. Hey, you might want to pay attention to the perimeter.
So Mr. Havas was part of the group that you had directed security to take a look at?
Yes, sir. He was over there first. It was him and another gentleman. The gentleman was taller with his wife, and this gentleman almost looked like he was directing Mr. Havas. You know, then he would go back probably up, went to the cow barns where they were far back and talk with a few other people, then come back up. This gentleman didn't want to leave.
So security had definitely been put on alert by you before the event ever happened?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You know, her security was inside the tent, which, as a military man, they should have been outside. Maybe one could be in the tent. The other one should have been outside the perimeter. Or there should have been more.
So when security went back, because you've now mentioned it to them twice that there is something going on back there that's disturbing, when they went
back there,
how did, at that point, Mr. Havas get past security and get to the point to where he got?
Mr. Havas bull rushed the crowd, and I don't really know because I was beside Dr. Atkins, as you can see in every picture. So I don't know if her security said something to him. Hopefully they did. It looked like the one looked like they were saying something, but obviously it wasn't enough.
So somehow he must have gotten away from security. Is that what we're saying here?
I watched him bull rush the crowd.
Okay, but security was talking to him before the event happened.
They were over there talking to a group of individuals. The one was
okay.
The one security guard was.
Well, Wayne, one thing that makes this interesting for a lot of us just hearing this story who were not there, and I want to read this just so the audience has a good idea. On Tuesday, Mr. Havas was arraigned, and this is what we've learned from the arraignment. An armed Ohio man, investigators said, set off a security scare involving a Democratic gubernatorial candidate, Dr. Amy Acton, pleaded not guilty in court on Tuesday. Patrick Havas, a 38-year-old from Canfield, pleaded not guilty to four misdemeanor charges, two counts of assault, one count of disorderly conduct, and one count of inducing panic during his arraignment in Canfield Tuesday. Now, here's the important things to remember. the weapons that he had were not used in any way, shape, or form, said Mahoning County Prosecutor Lynn Merrow. Everything he had was legal under the state of Ohio open carry. Acton was unharmed, but according to law enforcement, Havas knocked over two elderly people, injuring them as he pushed through the crowd. A newly released report from the Mahoning County Sheriff's Office doesn't give much insight into Havas's motive, as the majority of the document is redacted due to what the agency calls investigatory work product. But according to the report, after knocking the two people to the ground, Acton's security team grabbed Havas as he approached the candidate. Tuesday, Morrow, the prosecutor, said Havas never got near Acton based on video from the suspect's cell phone. The prosecutor said Havas turned the phone over to investigators after his arrest. The information we received is that Acton's camp requested individuals to stop recording shortly before the incident occurred, said Merrow. So at this point, the video we have is that of the defendants. It shows him walking into the tent, recording, and moving forward, calling out her name, said Merrow. Somebody in her security comes forward, and then his phone is either dropped or falls to the ground. Merrow said a preliminary search of Havas's phone found no major plot. He appeared in the tent wanting to ask questions. They found no threats, no ongoing obsession, she said. Following Tuesday's arraignment, defense attorney Gerald Ingram did not answer a question about his client's intentions Sunday. The judge sent a $5,000 cash bond and ordered Havas not to have any contact with Acton or the elderly victims. So, Wayne, what's interesting here, the prosecutor, not the defense attorney, is saying he just wanted to ask a question, no felony charges, he did not go for his weapons. What do you make of the report from the prosecutor?
You know what, I wish she'd wait till everything came out. You know, I'm shocked if it's been in her way or what. But as far as saying, oh, you know, he was just asking questions. Well, you're supposed to be an investigator, reporter, wherever he wants to be. When you have two handguns and a taser that's shaped like brass knuckles and a knife to ask questions, and his phone fell, yes, it did. I watched the phone because he bore right through the crowd. He didn't walk. He didn't jog. He bore right through the crowd. So, now, I don't know what's wrong on her side. I don't know what she's trying to improve. But the thing is, no one should be attacked politically, left or the right. What that man did was disgusting.
And I think everybody... I think everybody would agree that nobody should be attacked. Nobody should be in fear for any reason.
No.
No matter what political party you are. Now, Wayne, you were right there. You said with Dr. Acton right before this event. Were the cameras told to be shut off by the Acton campaign?
I don't know. I wish I had it filmed. I wish I had recorded it. I don't know what they told the people who were recording.
Well, it's in because yesterday we did. You said you were there, and former representative who's also running this time, John Bocchieri.
John Bocchieri.
Yeah, he was there. We had him on yesterday, and I believe he said that he was recording before this incident happened, and somebody from the Acton campaign did come over and ask him not to record. But you didn't hear the Acton campaign tell the group not to record.
No, not at all.
No. Well, because I think that's one of the parts of this that is so strange, is that in the world we live in, as you know, everybody's got a phone, everybody tapes everything, especially when there's a high-profile person around, like Amy Acton, somebody running for governor, and there isn't a single bit of footage of this event except from the defendant.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is what is fueling... right or wrong, I think a lot of the conspiracy theorists here.
I believe so. You know, like you said, everybody usually has a phone to record something, whether they were doing a TikTok dance, recording their food, their kids, somebody always has something to record. Like I said, I wish I would have been recording at the time.
So at the time this all happens, you're standing close to Dr. Acton, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Now, what is she, what is her reaction as this larger man is coming through the crowd saying her name?
Her reaction on her face was more of in shock, like looking like, wow, what's going on? But her reaction after the gentleman and wife fell and got hurt right beside her, the gentleman with Parkinson's, was to react. As a physician, she reacted immediately. It was by the men that were inside. She wanted to help and do whatever she could. She didn't want to leave.
Now what were you?
Everyone was okay.
What were you prepared to do as you saw this happening, standing next to the candidate?
I was prepared to knock his head off. I wasn't going to let that happen. You know, I ref basketball, football, and I coach basketball, football. I ref little girls and coach little girls on my team. I have a daughter. I have a niece. I have a mother. I have an aunt. If anyone were to do harm to them or come near them, there would be a price to pay.
Did Dr. Acton say anything to you after this was all over?
No, I told her to just go. Because at that time, after they restrained Mr. Havis, she was still beside me with the gentleman who got hurt. So they were trying to tell her to go. I said, Amy, you have to go. She said, but I was Amy, you have to go. And her security came, because she wanted to stay with the gentleman who got knocked over. The security came and got her and threw her away.
Is there any chance that this man, Mr. Havas, was trying to ask her a question and doing it obviously in a way that he should not have done it by knocking over two elderly people, but that's what he wanted to do. Now maybe he wanted to ask a bad question, as you say. There was a disturbance being kicked up before this ever happened. But is there any chance that that's what was happening and security got nervous because of how big he was? Meaning to say...
No. We're not going to do that trust. There was no way Mr. Havas wanted to ask a question, a nice question, while arguing on the perimeter of the tent with people and screaming, yelling, then with two handguns. Well, we're going to keep this right. I'm a military man. Love carrying guns. I carry mine at all times for situations like this. Just in case. Mr. Havas had other intentions. Mr. Havas had bad intentions with a taser that looked just like brass knuckles shaped like a two, a knife, and two handguns. This is the Wild Wild West. What do you do with two handguns on each side? Mr. Havas had bad intentions. This is not a game. This wasn't funny. You know, I know some conspiracy theorists who try to spin it. I know some people from the other parties, extremists. I said extremists, not just the regular Republicans, great people, but the extremists would try to spin it. I don't care if this was Donald Trump, Dr. Amy Acton, Dr. Mike DeWine, Barack Obama. This shouldn't have occurred. This gentleman wasn't there to ask a nice question. He could have raised his hand. He could have said, Dr. Acton, excuse me, I have a question. He wasn't there to do that.
So there's
not what he was there for.
No doubt in your mind, something bad was bound to happen.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
With two guns and magazines, a knife and a taser shaped with brass knuckles, there were bad intentions.
Why do you think the prosecutor is not pressing any kind of felony charge and doesn't seem to be echoing what you're echoing?
I don't know. I can't speak for that. I have no clue. Do I think it should be more charges? Yes. Yeah. But she's the Lynn Law prosecutor on this one, so we're going to see what happens.
Do you think that any of this has to do with the rhetoric in this particular race? Because it has been heavy for quite some time now.
You know, I think the rhetoric all over is pretty bad. Tensions are high. You know, the political climate in general is a mess. You know, these are the type of things, incidents, that deter people from running, that scare people off. So do I think a lot of, I think it does. I truly believe it does.
Now, well, one thing I want to bring up here, the Acton campaign did release a statement this week, which I thought was interesting. They said, in the wake of an armed man lunging toward Dr. Acton at the Canfield Fair. Now, would you say he lunged toward her? Because that's also a point of contention here.
You know, he, Scott, he was like a bull in a china shop. He was a short man, very, very large, and he used all his body weight to lunge. As far as lunging, yeah. You know, lunges, I work out, so lunges are lunges. He lunged, he bull rushed through. Yes, sir.
And who,
I watched him.
Who actually stopped him?
The security stopped him and fell to the ground.
Now, is this the same security that you had been talking with, or different members of that detail?
It's the same one, yes, sir. Same two gentlemen.
Same one. What is your best explanation as to why you have let the security know there's a disturbance, something's going on, you've went to them twice, and yet
yes,
this still happened?
God, I couldn't really answer that. All I know is, like I said, I was a military veteran, military man, United States Army. I pay close attention to detail, and my situational awareness is always key and on point. You know, I don't know what these guys are doing.
I just want to finish
what
this.
They were thinking or
right. I want to finish the statement from the Acton campaign. Again, in the wake of an armed man lunging toward Dr. Acton at the Canfield Fair, the Washington Post is highlighting the dark rhetoric and baseless lies Vivek Ramaswamy has spent months spewing about Dr. Acton on the campaign trail. In his stump speech, Ramaswamy regularly brands Acton a socialist, a label she rejects. I'm running against a woman who would be, God forbid, the first socialist governor this state has ever seen in our history. He said Sunday in an appearance at the Great Geauga County Fair in Burton. His rhetoric has taken darker turns in an address last month to the Buckeye Firearms Association Patriot Fest in Hilliard. He said the Second Amendment was made for times such as these, was made for generations like the one that I live in today. Socialism is back in America with a vengeance. Mr. Penny, is it a good idea for a campaign to release these statements that obviously they feel are bad statements within days of an attempted attack happening?
You know, Scott, no, it's terrible for him to release those. You know, and he knows that, but there's a certain base cult-like mentality that he wants to rear up and get on his side. And it's disgusting. It's truly disgusting. You know, I believe the Acton campaign wouldn't release things about him if he were to be attacked like that. It's truly disgusting. It divides us all.
Well, Mr. Penny, these came from the Acton campaign.
I'm sorry, you were cut out. That's why I said you cut out. But
yeah, no.
When he was at the fair.
What I read there, those statements, were released from the Acton campaign.
Okay, read the part again. You cut out, that's why.
This is what the Acton campaign released. In the wake of an armed man lunging toward Dr. Acton at the Canfield Fair, the Washington Post is highlighting the dark rhetoric and baseless lies Vivek Ramaswamy has spent months spewing about Dr. Acton on the campaign trail. In his stump speech, Ramaswamy regularly brands Acton a socialist, a label she rejects. I'm running against a woman who would be, God forbid, the first socialist governor this state has ever seen in our history, he said Sunday in an appearance at the Great Geauga County Fair in Burton. His rhetoric has taken darker turns in an address last month to the Buckeye Firearms Association Patriot Fest in Hilliard, Ohio. He said the Second Amendment was made for times such as these, was made for generations like the one that I live in today. Socialism is back in America with a vengeance. So my question was, is it good for a campaign to release these within days of an attempted attack on their candidate?
I mean, he said those things.
He did.
They
he
released
did.
Them. Those were his words.
True.
You know, I mean, those were his words. And they were already released by the Washington Post. Those were his words. you know, as far as him saying all of a sudden men with, you know, had times like these, you know, he's right on that. The Second Amendment provides times like these, which we all should be able to carry our guns. You know,
right.
His word, she released them.
Right, but I guess the point, the greater point I'm making here is after this event on Sunday, is that his campaign denounced what happened, mm-hmm. Governor DeWine denounced what happened, and I'm certain the Acton campaign did not like what happened, but yet within days they're releasing comments that Mr. Ramaswamy has allegedly said that again are putting, you know, wood on the fire. It just makes people aware that things like this are going on. I'm not sure why somebody would want to do that if there was a worry that bad things were happening on the campaign trail.
Yeah, true, but, you know, she released them, and once again, things are happening. These things are happening. We can't hide it. If there were more cell phone coverage, you know, everybody would see it, and people have to be aware of what's going on. You know, the first thing the American people would say is, well, why wasn't this released? Why do I tell us if there were another incident that happened? You know, so as far as her releasing them, yeah, American public needs to know. Ohio needs to know.
Now, as far as the Second Amendment comment, do you agree with what Mr. Ramaswamy said?
That the Second Amendment is for times like this?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So to that comment to you is not a bad comment.
No, I believe the Second Amendment. We should all be able to carry our firearms. I believe so. You know, in the tent, if Mr. Havas had pulled his firearm, and no one else had theirs, then what?
Well, and I think,
you know, you guys, as a military man, you have to stop the bad guys. And I'll do whatever I can to stop anyone from my family, the females I coach. You know, if he would have pulled out his gun and shot in the crowd or shot at Dr. Acton, then what?
Well, and I think Mr.
Ramaswamy was right.
So, why do you think the Acton campaign would release that as a her campaign referred to it as Mr. Ramaswamy, here's what they called it, dark rhetoric and baseless lies Vivek Ramaswamy has spent months spewing about Dr. Acton on the campaign trail. But you...
Well, some of that stuff you said was baseless rhetoric, you know.
That's the socialist.
Like an amendment comment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Once again, like I said, he's going to do that to fuel a certain base and a cult-like mentality.
But just to be clear, you don't have any problems with his Second Amendment comment that they put in statement. Okay. So you would not call that baseless or harmful rhetoric?
No, sir.
Dark rhetoric, I guess, is what they called it.
Not that part, no, sir.
No, okay. So and Mr. Penny, this is what I think people would say. You were armed that day. Mr. Havas was obviously armed. Now, I wasn't there.
I was not armed that day.
Oh, you did not have anything on that day.
That day, I did not.
Okay.
But I wish I would have.
You wish you would. Okay, so you wish you would have. For people listening to this who say, well, that is the law in Ohio that you can carry. Anybody can carry who doesn't have a background that is suspicious. I guess at this point, anybody can carry. These laws have been set forth by our governor. Why should you be allowed to carry when Mr. Havas is not in a public place?
Why should I be allowed to carry now, Mr. Havas is not?
Well, not now, but then. You know, you said you wish you had been armed that day. For something like that happening. But mm-hmm. I think his contention, pleading not guilty, is, and the prosecutor's contention is, that what he did was not illegal, and he did not go for those weapons, that this mm-hmm. was not illegal.
Okay.
So if you were allowed to carry that day by your choice, if you had wanted to, and you say you wish you which you had, why should he not be allowed to have those weapons?
I mean, I believe he ought to be allowed, but what was Mr. Havas's intent? Who carries two guns?
Well, I think that's the problem, is we never really know anybody's...
Honestly, now, does Mr. Havas have a mental illness? I don't know anyone who carries two guns with a few magazines, with a taser that's brass knuckles, and a knife. What are you doing with all that?
Well, and I think that's a question a lot of people who are involved in gun rights are concerned about, is how is this legal? That somebody can, in a public place, at a fair, carry what Mr. Havas was carrying, and a prosecutor can say, under the laws of Ohio, he did not do anything wrong.
But we also have to look at Mr. Havas' background. You know, how did Mr. Havas obtain these guns? Does he have a mental illness background? You know, are these guns legal through a gun dealer, or where did he get them from?
Now, Mr. Penny, one other thing I want to bring up. Governor DeWine got in on this again yesterday because a lot of people have been saying that that Dr. Acton's camp is exaggerating what happened on that day. And Governor DeWine followed up his statements earlier in the week on Sunday, I believe he made a statement. He called the event reprehensible. This is Governor DeWine. He said, campaigns, candidates running for office have the right to go out and talk to people. It's one of the things that we cherish. It's very, very important. So anything that interferes with that is bad. We had people who were knocked down at the incident, so not a good situation. DeWine also commented on any claims made by social media users or officials that the severity of the incident may have been exaggerated by the Acton campaign. This is what Governor DeWine said. That's a bunch of garbage. No one overblew it. Facts are facts. Do you agree with the governor?
I agree. He's right. You know, Governor DeWine isn't taking any side. He's speaking the truth. He's the governor. He's speaking what it is. He's just speaking the facts.
A lot of people are saying that Governor DeWine obviously has a very close relationship with Dr. Acton. She worked in his administration. They became very close during the COVID time. Friends, I think people would say. Do you think that Governor DeWine should be commenting on things like this, this close to an election?
I believe he should. If he didn't comment, then everybody would say, well, what does Mike DeWine say? What does Governor DeWine say? I believe he commented. I'm glad he responded and commented. If he didn't, like I said, people, we're sitting here, Ohio would say, oh, well, why didn't Governor DeWine say anything? What does Governor DeWine think? They would criticize him.
And so,
definitely glad he responded.
So in the end result for you, Mr. Penny, there was no doubt that something bad would have happened that day had security not taken this man down.
Yes, sir.
The fact that he got such a low bond and the fact that he is not going to be charged with a felony, where does that put us if he is a mentally ill person for the rest of this campaign?
You know what? That's up to the prosecutor. I don't know what she's going to do with that. We need to get to ask her.
Do you think this will put candidates in fear to go out in public places?
I think. Well, you know, the candidates who are running, I don't think so. Not myself. No, not at all. And a few others, John Bocheri and Mike Kripchak, not at all. As veterans, we go as needed. We can answer the call of duty. But other candidates, I think it will stop them. It'll scare them a little bit. And I think when it's time for other people to run for office or think about running for office, it'll deter them from it 100%.
You know something, Mr. Penny, that I have heard, and I think it's an interesting take, that Dr. Acton has never run for public office before, so this is all sort of new to her, and to run for the highest office in the state is a big undertaking. Also, she was health director for the state during the pandemic, and we all remember when people were picketing at her home and she was getting threats because of her decisions during the pandemic. Do you think that this has made her a little more sensitive and worrisome, aware of events like these than maybe another candidate would be?
I don't know. You know, I truly can't answer that. I haven't talked to her camp in a couple days. But from what I've seen with Dr. Acton jumping in to tell people, I think Dr. Acton's a wolf. I don't think she's scared. Dr. Acton's going to keep fighting the good fight, like we all are.
Now, the other thing is, from this point on, should anybody use this as a campaign tool? Because I think that's what's going on now. That's why this is still a story on Thursday, and it happened on Sunday. Thank God nobody was terribly injured. Nobody was terribly injured. We had some minor injuries. We don't like that. Nobody was terribly injured. But I think the Ramaswamy campaign probably, and Republicans, probably feel like Dr. Acton is getting good mileage out of this. She's getting national coverage. She's getting a lot of free exposure that she would not have gotten, much like Donald Trump got during his assassination attempt. And I think that they feel that she is exploiting this by releasing the press statements and telling Ramaswamy to denounce this and denounce that, which I think he did on Sunday.
I believe as he should, and he did.
Right. So do you think there's any credence given to that, that maybe we should stop talking about this in the news, that this should not be used as something to elect a governor?
You know what? Yes and no. Yes, we want to go on and live our lives, try to get past it, but still, it happens. You know, there's one side who's going to try to spin it, and there's someone on Twitter who's spinning it, a big commentator who's spinning it, you know, she's spinning it the way she wants to, all over, making up lies. And like I said, John Boteri and myself are first-hand eyewitnesses. You can't debate that. So while you got CNN, Fox, you know, MSN, some people in there spinning lies, we were right there, first-hand account. You know, our Facebook is there. We saw, we told it what it is, and there's still people trying to spin lies nationally. So they're going to try to keep the rhetoric going. They're trying to keep the hate going.
And Mr. Penny, because of that, because we have a really good connection now, I can hear you perfectly. For people who might have tuned in late in our final 2 minutes of the program here, can you recount, just take us through exactly what happened? You were there on Sunday at the Canfield Fair. Just take us through that whole bit again.
I was there with Dr. Acton, eyewitness firsthand account. Dr. Acton came up the aisleway, you know, spoke with everyone, shook everyone's hand. I put the tent, talked to myself for a little bit, took a picture with me, asked me how my campaign was going, if there was anything that she could do or I needed to please reach out to her communications director and let them know. As we were in the tent, Dr. Acton addressed the crowd, you know, as best she always does. She spoke with us. I noticed a few hecklers outside the perimeter of the tent walking past, a few people, there's probably six of them, talking a little bit, running their mouth a little bit, heckling her. Then they kept going. A couple others kept going. Then another gentleman, taller gentleman, and Mr. Havas, wearing all black, were there. Mr. Havas was running his mouth back there along with the other gentleman. I informed the security guards. The one, hey, you know, there's something going on. I informed them maybe they want to check it out. He said, okay. Nothing happened. I see more commotion going on. A little bit of vulgar talking. I informed him again, and finally he went over there and not sure what he said. I know he stood over there. All of a sudden, Mr. Voss, wearing all black, black hat, black track jacket, black shorts in 93 degree weather, bull rushed the crowd screaming Dr. Acton's name and knocked people over. Her security guards got him down before he made it to her, probably about 3 feet. I stepped aside to be in front of her. There were two elderly people knocked down. The one gentleman had Parkinson's and hit his head. Dr. Acton immediately jumped into action to assist the gentleman to make sure he was okay. You know, she was there, wouldn't leave his side until she made sure he was okay. I told her, you have to go. You got to get the hell out of here. She wouldn't leave. I told her, get the hell out of here. She has to go. Her security came, and team came to pull her up and try to get her to go. She still wouldn't go. They had to forcefully take her out because she wanted to make sure everyone was okay.
Mr. Penny, three quick questions on what you just said. Do you blame security in any way for this? I mean, you said you told them twice there was a disturbance. Mr. Havas was part of the disturbance. And yet, somehow, even though they went back there and talked to them, this man was able to get into the crowd, through the crowd, with a telephone, get somewhat... How close did he get to Dr. Acton?
He got about 3 feet, which he should have got that. He should have got that far.
Three?
He should have been dealt with, nicked in the butt before that.
And as he's barreling through the crowd toward her, that's when he knocked over the two elderly people?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, because of everything we've got within 3 feet of Dr. Acton, is this security's fault? I mean, you have told them there's something going on, and yet that was still able to happen.
I'm not going to say it's their fault, because they were obviously our security. I don't know how they were trained. They were high patrolmen, but they could have paid better attention to detail. She might have needed more security.
Has the prosecutor in Mahoning County contacted you? Because she says she's going by the video, and she's not sure exactly how close Mr. Havas got, and you're saying 3 feet. That's pretty close.
3 or 4 feet, yes, sir.
Has she contacted you?
As far as I'm looking at it, I was in front of her, and I see where he was at, so it had to be about 4 feet.
Okay. So have they contacted you, the Mahoning County Prosecutor's Office?
No, sir.
Okay. Maybe you should call them. I'm not sure how that all works out. Do you blame Vivek Ramaswamy for this in any way?
No, I don't blame anybody for this right now. You know, I blame Mr. Havas. That's the only one. You know, if Vivek were attacked, I wouldn't blame Dr. Acton. You know, we have our own right to choose.
And we are very close to this election, under 60 days. Who's going to win, Ramaswamy or Acton, if the election were held today?
I'm going with Dr. Amy Acton. A good fight.
She will be the next governor of this state. I'll tell you, it's very interesting, and I think to get the firsthand perspective is very important. Mr. Penny, I cannot thank you enough for calling in today. I appreciate your frankness and your candor, and want to remind everybody that you are running for the seat in Ohio House District 59, and you're welcome back on this program anytime. I appreciate it, Mr. Penny.
Scott, I appreciate you too. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, Voice of a People with Linda Sims coming up next. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Hold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol